Aaron Shapiro is the author of an incredible new thriller novel. It's titled Taming the Telomeres. Now, the book follows a high school girl's journey to find answers after a mysterious plane crash. The book contains a myriad of twists and turns that you'll never expect. Today, my conversation is with Aaron Shapiro. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yes, I'm happy to be with you.
And your name is Rick, right?
Yes.
Can I call you Rick?
Yes, and I've been called a lot of other things too.
Okay, you want to get started. Here we go. When you're asked what Taming the Telomeres is about, how do you answer that?
I guess it's about a lot of things, but as you mentioned, it's about a high school senior who survives a terrible crash that kills her parents and everyone aboard. She's the only survivor. And then what she goes through is an unbelievable series of events, starting with her own recovery and then exploring what is behind the crash that killed everyone. And there are a lot of twists that unfold.
Well, Taming the Telomeres, I guess, has been really called a biological espionage thriller. So what's the biological thing about it? What's that part?
Well, Amanda finds out that her father was a biologist and was involved in classified research. And obviously, I can't give away too much of the plot line here, but that's the biological part. She finds out a lot of things about the research he was doing and why it may have been valuable and important.
Now, and there's also like a part of the story that involves this private school, Middleburg Academy. Now, does that school exist, and why did you pick Middleburg as the setting?
Middleburg, Virginia is a very interesting area. It's not terribly far outside Washington, D.C., and it's in the county that is the actual richest county in the United States per capita.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that's, you know, more than Hollywood, more than anywhere else. There are a lot of horse farms, and there's a lot of money there. And so there is no Middleburg Academy, but there are some schools that I drew little bits and pieces from that make up the fictional academy.
Well, today talking with Aaron Shapiro, who is the author of Taming the Telomeres. And in your story, I want you to tell me a little bit about Amanda Michaels' uncle, Andy Michaels, who is the D.C. trial attorney who ends up suing the airline on her behalf and on behalf of other passenger families. Did you model him after yourself?
Well, no, I mean, I am a trial attorney, but I may have drew some experiences and used some of those in some subtle ways in the book. But no, Andy Michaels is a D.C. trial attorney, and his claim to fame in the book is that he represented some of the men and women that perished in the Pentagon after the 9/11 attack, and sued some of the airlines and security companies. And then when this crash happened, it involved his own brother and sister-in-law and his niece Amanda. And so he ends up representing her and many of the other passengers against the same airline he sued earlier.
So, Rick, you know, in your story, I mean, there's spying, there's some intelligence agencies involved in the story, and I know you're not going to give away any details here, but does the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, secret court that is involved in this book, actually exist?
Oh, absolutely, it actually exists, and some people have never heard of it, but there are 13 federal judges around the country that are secretly appointed by the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, and they have been sitting and acting as these Intelligence Surveillance Act court judges for a number of years. And the way it works is governmental attorneys come in and request subpoenas and other types of legal action. And these judges are sort of like the speed bump that they must approve any of these types of spying activities. So they're totally in existence. There's not a lot you can find out publicly about them, except how they were passed and what's on the books.
You know, Rick, I wanted to ask you, because I've read that the CIA and our intelligence agencies can't do any spying inside the United States, only against foreign persons who may be suspected of, you know, some type of terrorism or that type of thing. Am I correct in that or not?
Well, yes. Most people probably don't believe that any of our intelligence agencies can spy inside our own country at all, but they can, and that's what the counterintelligence agents do. So if a foreign government is actually suspected of being involved, like you said, in terrorism or some other type of possibly biological harmful act, for example, our counterintelligence agents get involved here in the United States also. So to say that there is no spying inside the U.S. is wrong. It's just that it may be on foreign intelligence agents or those we suspect of something.
How interesting. Okay, towards the end of the book, there's some pretty amazing twists involving characters in the story. One in particular was a big shock. How did you go about setting that up?
Well, of course, I can't give any of that away here, but in writing the book, I laid out a skeleton of the entire book and chapter titles and the way it would go. But actually, as I was writing the book, I don't know, I was maybe two-thirds of the way through with the book, suddenly one day it dawned on me, wow, what if this person did this? And then I had to go back and kind of touch things up to make it work well, and I really do think it works well. It's surprising. She just doesn't know of the people around her who she can trust and who she can't trust
right. After
a lot of mysterious things happen in the course of the book.
So does the CIA really create scenarios and personas like you have in the book?
Oh, absolutely. In some of the most major intelligence operations, the brilliant ones, They've created a persona or an aura. And you recall there's been a recent movie where Ben Affleck was involved in the movie where we had movie producers go over to one of these nations in the Middle East and pose as producers. And they were actually, some of them were real producers, but the rest of the people on the crew were actually CIA agents. So
Wow. Creating
scenarios in order to find out things, that's what the CIA often does. So in the book, there are some major scenarios that the reader really doesn't come to understand exactly how these took place or why until the very end of the book.
Wow. Rick, is there any particular reason you picked a female and a high school student at that as your protagonist for this story?
Sure. Because, you know, I've read a number of other books, and I find that a leading character sometimes is more interesting if it's not like the James Bond type guy or the Mission Impossible type guy, and it's not like the standard adult male. And so viewing everything in a book through the prism of a younger person, I think, is, to me, more challenging as a writer to do that, and I think it's a little more interesting. And Amanda Michaels, for example, is so unpredictable because she suffers a brain injury and she suffers amnesia. Some of that also makes her less stable, but she gets her act together, and then although she's a little unpredictable, she becomes a very resilient person. And so it was fun kind of creating her persona.
So, Rick, how can listeners get a copy of Taming the Telomeres?
The main way is on Amazon, because on Amazon the ebook is available and the paperback can be ordered on Amazon also. So currently that is the way to get this book, and I hope that anyone listening will consider doing that.
Hey, thank you so much for talking to me today, R.N. Shapiro. Taming the Telomeres. You just heard where you can get it. Thanks so much.